Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, my talkers, happy Tuesday, 4 o'clock, and we're hanging out with both Lori and Julia. Julia is back in studio after her little long weekend there in Chicago. Happy to have both of
Julia
you back.
Julia was with the 3Gs. They're starting a group now. There's going to be a song, probably.
Uh-huh. Is there a group text
three
going?
Three generations.
Did you stick with the no talking, everyone have a headset on?
Okay, so it's so funny, because I, my mom, though, can't listen to music in the car.
Right.
Okay, because she has a hard time sensing
the auditory from the stroke. Yes.
And so I got some headphones for her, and we talked the whole way until about maybe we had 2 hours left, and I said, it's quiet time.
Okay. Oh, just like children. Yep. You just like decree.
Listen.
It's like kindergarten. Nap time. I looked forward to
We were
to
all done
time.
With each other.
Right.
I could tell. Everyone was burnt out. Let's have quiet time.
Yes.
I put in my earbuds. So I put in her earbuds. My mom picked out her iPad. It was perfect.
Good.
And then on the way back, quiet time started way earlier.
Okay. Nap time?
And we left early.
Yeah. We left in quiet time, started earlier in the drive.
Okay.
And then because you can't listen to music. You know, so you can't have any noise in the car except for,
Yeah.
So, because you want a little background on road trips. So I'm like, it's quiet time.
Right.
So we got to put in our earbuds. It was fun. I'm telling you. Some of the stops from Chicago back, there is this one stop, and it's random. It's totally random, and you pull off, and it's this little general store gas station, but it's cowboy flavored. And in the back, there's a teepee, and then there's like the Cooper Zoo or something, and it's unmarked. There's a horse, a Palomino horse, outside by the gas.
Yeah, nice.
Inside, it's all Western, and there's one of those old-fashioned horses that you get up, get up, get up.
Yeah,
not the stick, but it's the one on the stand with the springs.
With the springs, boom, one of
boom,
those
boom.
Things.
Get up. And then on the way into the gas station, in the cement are horseshoes. And then you pull out of it. I mean, just Wisconsin is funny stuff.
Yeah, it is.
It's a funny state.
Mm-hmm.
Clean roads, I might add. And then you pull.
Oh, God.
I know, I'm not going to say it.
I know. I told the girl, I said, whatever you do, have plastic bags in your stroller or whatever you're going to push Brucey around in. I said, because your auntie is some weird obsessive compulsive person about trash now. And she just sent me back a bunch of laughing emojis. Mm-hmm.
But I did on the way back from our walk. I didn't even have a bag and I cleaned up crap.
Yeah.
But so anyway, but when you left this funny gas station, the stop sign, instead of saying stop, said, whoa.
Oh.
I mean, there's just funny things like that in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
so it just kind of made us laugh. But you have threatened to tell us a pickleball story.
Okay, yes.
Oh,
and
Lori's got the pickleball story.
And I said, Grant, did she play?
No, God, no. Lord, no. I'm just, you know, things. So this is in the Washington Post opinion piece.
Okay.
Rick Riley. Here's the column. I'm just digging, you know. I'm 65 now, which means that according to federal law, I have to start playing pickleball. But I don't want to play pickleball.
I hate
pickleball.
Don't.
I'm fine with AARP peers all over America loving pickleball. But why do you have to constantly tell me about it? Why do you insist I start playing with you? I get it. You moved less than 18 inches in each direction for 2 hours, hit a greenish loud ball, plonk, plonk, plonk a lot, and beat Ed and Nancy in three games.
Ed and Nancy. I love it.
I love that.
Okay.
I love that.
Look, I tried it. I didn't like it. Not as fun as ping pong, not as elegant as tennis, not as pretty as golf. It was a lot of people who hadn't played a sport in 30 years suddenly thinking they're athletes.
A lot of this is true so far.
My buddy said to me it was epic. Reality check. There's no epic in napping, crochet, or pickleball. It's a game in which two mostly, well, pretty very old people whack a plastic wiffle ball kind of at two other mostly old people who defend an area the size of a rug like in my bathroom. It's not a sport and it's not even great exercise. A Canadian study last fall found that an hour of pickleball gets you only half as many steps as just walking the hour. No, it's like tennis, pickle pushers will argue. No, it's nothing like tennis. Riding an electric bike doesn't make you Lance Armstrong, and playing pickleball doesn't make you Roger Federer. Mm-hmm. Remember, kids, every time you see a new pickleball court open, an orthopedist
surgeon,
a new boat.
Oh, you're so funny. That's funny.
Closing down a basketball hoop court for pickleball is like closing down a boxing gym for Zumba. So what if it's America's fastest growing sport? So is Dipolipobotherema, a fast growing tapeworm. Doesn't mean it won't. Pickleball hurts the eyes and it hurts the ears. Pwak, 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 pwak. People are selling their houses to get away from pickleball courts.
I would agree. It is a loud sport.
And there's even something he said, get the green zone paddles. But to sum up, go ahead and play all the pickleball you want. But can you please just shut up about it? That would be epic.
Oh, this is great. My dad has no idea how loud pickleball is. And he was like, yeah, our new condo's got two pickleball courts right outside of it.
Oh, yeah, a woman in Newport Beach, California, sued the city for the endless pwak.
Oh, Dad, Mom,
if you're listening. A neighborhood group in Arlington organized to stop more pickleballs from being built, and that tennis and basketball is getting hijacked for pickleball. It's just... And then he goes on about all the injuries that are happening to people because they haven't played sports.
They think
they're athletes.
Yes.
They're just blowing out knees and getting pickleball elbow and torn Achilles and ripping rotator cuffs. And
oh, my Lord.
Anyway, and he said, this is what comes of something dreamed up by a rich Seattle Republican politician, Joel Pritchard, who invited it decades ago with a couple of friends for their bored islands on stuffy old Bainbridge Island. When I'm not kidding here, they couldn't find a shuttlecock for badminton. The catamaran was in the shop.
I love that. They needed something new. Here's what I'll say. Initially, I wanted to teach people to play pickleball and to play pickleball because I loved it.
Yeah.
And want people, I don't want to teach anyone new. I don't want anyone new to start. It's already overpopulated.
Yeah, right.
But as far as exercise goes, if you play lazy like those people, it raises your heart rate really quick.
Yeah.
If you're playing with athletic people.
Yeah.
You know,
His message, stop making a big deal about the pickleball. Pickleballers.
It's what it is, though, Lori, for people, it is social.
You know, you don't have, you told me all
told
this crap.
You don't care. You've never even tried it.
I've never cared. I've thought about it, and that's all I've thought about, you know, because I really wasn't that fond of ping pong, to tell you the truth. I mean, I like tennis. Ping pong was okay, but the noise always got to me, and I got bored, the small ball back and forth and not moving very much. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather play pool, strategery. You know,
pickleball strategic.
Yeah.
Tennis is strategic. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's not for you.
Yeah.
Got it. Done.
This guy just made me laugh.
That's fun.
With his
breakdown. That was a funny breakdown.
It is loud. I will say that.
Heard of these, the green zone paddles that are quieter?
Yes. In some communities in Florida, require you have those paddles.
Yeah. A noise study in Phoenix said in order to soften the sound, 12-foot walls would be needed.
Yeah. It's loud.
Loud, yeah.
It is a loud sport, I'm not going to lie. I agree.
Yeah,
it's loud, and it's, anyway. But it's, and the craze is there, but that's I'm true. Playing tennis tonight, and I love that too.
Well,
I'm a paddle girl.
You're a paddle girl.
I like to hit balls. Mm-hmm. That's me.
I would say something, but
no, but it's the truth.
All
right, we're going to random thoughts.
Okay, so on, I think it was GMA this morning, they had a Memorial Day travel tips because we are seeing people traveling Memorial Weekend in the skies like we haven't seen since 2019.
Right.
And I think it was Travel and Leisure, and they said the number one thing, if your airport and MSP airport does have this, if you have the option to pre-book your parking.
Do it now.
Do it.
Yes.
Because it is, you won't believe how busy it is, and definitely get there 2 hours early domestic, three. I mean, it's just that busy. We said that, they said that's the number one stress buster is just plan on getting there early and pre-booking your parking and
MSPairport.com.
And follow your airport, you know, on all the socials.
Yes.
Because they give you a lot of helpful information.
MSPairport.com. You can pre-book your trip up to 12 hours in advance, but this is going to be a busy weekend.
Yes,
I love that heads up.
Yep.
Go to MSPairport.com for all your information and get there early and start your trip before you go.
No, I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
Random. All right. Well, happy birthday to the Minnesota Zoo. It is 45 years old today. They've got big stuff because, you know, the treetop trail is opening in June.
And they're bringing Thursday night camp concerts back, right?
They're doing some fun stuff. I will tell you more about it later.
Okay, fine.
I didn't read enough. I just know it's
their birthday. I know Kiss the Tiger is playing on Thursday night with the Gully Boys and another. So it's going to be just... I think like 8 Thursdays.
Oh, wow.
It's not the Sue McLean. It's
no,
not
it
the
is not.
Oh, I love when Sue had it. The Woo at the Zoo, I would go to that every year.
Yeah.
Sue did a great job with that.
That went away in COVID, I
guess.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah.
Okay, heads up, pet owners, because I think this is something you might want to take advantage of. We've had telehealth for humans. Now we're having telehealth for animals.
Good.
And this is
if
something,
this could work.
Because it's been very hard to get into vets, correct, Grant, if you don't have an animal?
Oh, yes.
It's very hard.
Sometimes you have to go, like, if it's an emergency situation, like, you might be going to three different 24-hour services before you can find one that will take you in because they're so backed up. Yeah.
And so here's what's happening is Walmart...
Are we going to go back to school and become veterinarians? Is that going to be our third act?
It might be. I wish they would offer auditing classes for adults.
Auditing?
You know, where you just go and you don't get a grade, but you get to go take a class for free, like at the U or St. Thomas.
I believe it's called community college, and there's classes like that already out there, aren't there?
For free?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're going to get what you pay for. So if you go to somebody's,
but I think
how to be a private investigator.
No, well, that's, did anyone watch that show?
I watched High Desert.
Right, we're going to talk about it. Yes.
It made me think of that
guy.
Totally. I was like, that seemed like a class for free.
Totally. Totally. Okay. So starting next Tuesday, Walmart is offering free pet telehealth appointments as part of its Walmart Plus subscription plan. They're trying to go after Amazon Business.
Why
would you be motivated to do
this? I would never call Walmart.
Let me just tell you, they partnered with veterinary company POP, which is PAWP. Yep. It's the retail's giant.
Yep.
And they're offering it for free.
Oh, nothing is for free.
But it's for free. You have until November 19th to sign up for the virtual veterinary service. It's offered at no additional charge the very first year, and after that, it's just $99 a year.
Okay, there's the catch.
Get a free year.
Is it like doggy insurance or something? Animal
you
health
don't
insurance?
Get insurance. It's not insurance, but it's telehealth. So if your dog has something, and you can, you know, like how you don't have to go to the doctor all the time for things.
This is doomed to fail.
Yeah, I don't. Well, and someone who has pet insurance, I think that's. In the end, that's your best bet because no matter where you go, you can call in. You can say, hey, I'm having this situation.
It's panic
and it's a free
at
call,
the disco.
But then they're going to say you're going to need to pay to come in and then do whatever surgery. So you still have to pay for whatever surgery is going to be done, but it's probably like a consultation that might be free.
And when your animal's in distress, it's an emergency.
They're not always in distress,
okay,
Lori.
I know, but I'm just
speaking like a woman who never had her own pet.
I know, but I know my mom, how many visits she makes to the vets, and it's always when the dog is in distress, and she would never be able to take the time to do it. She would want to bring...
offering information here. We do not have to have this argument. I really don't care.
Okay, well,
I was offering up the information.
Grant and I were just making our views known that we think this is a doomed business plan by Walmart.
We'll see. Yeah. I'm sure they did a lot of research on it.
Yeah, Target did the Minute Clinics and the Eye Clinics, but I don't know about this pet clinic. We'll see.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah.
Retailers are clamping down on returns. This is an interesting article that I just read from the Wall Street Journal. It costs retailers about $26.50 per return on a $100 purchase. And I noticed this, let's just say I use one of those services to deliver some products. They're starting to offer you different delivery dates when it used to be overnight. Some places offer you a discount if you promise not to return the product. Have you heard this? Because It is about, there is a...
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
About 8% of shoppers.
It's such a new age world of shopping. I'm just so old school.
You are, but this is, but a lot of people are going
to the store. I mean,
but a lot of people are.
No, I know. Yeah. This is what I mean. That's what I'm calling it. It's a new agey problem.
It's,
you know,
my problem. I'm one of these people. Yes. I go, rather than try it on in the store, go to the store. I don't order it online because I like to go to the store to see what it looks like.
Okay.
But then I get like one size that I think fits me and one size that I think fits me.
But
I
this go could home, be any number of items.
Yeah. But this is basically
clothing or in shoes.
It's basically online
shopping. Online I get that. Returns. For the free returns, I get
yes.
you. Okay.
So 8% of shoppers are responsible for 70% of the online returns.
Wow. See, when you're an online shopper, you overshop.
And
you buy
just,
too much.
You yeah. buy Look and you buy I, it in every different size because you have no clue because you didn't try it on.
That's yeah. it.
So they are going to be locking, you know, down on those people. And Amazon has a new thing now that says about some of the retailers, like this retailer has a large percentage of returns.
Oh,
so they're giving you some yeah. heads up on that, mm-hmm. that the stuff doesn't come in the size that you expect it to.
Yeah.
And they're just doing other indicators because this is taking away so much from the profits because they're already seeing less people buy less. And they're trying to, because when it costs you over a quarter of what the...
See, this is random CEO thoughts over
Well,
here.
When it costs you over 25% of the original purchase to take in the return, you're going to shut down on them. So beware.
Look the restocking fee.
It's the restocking fee. It's the, yeah. fee. It's the, you have to, it's the person to take it in. Mm. So you're going to be charged sometimes.
Did you read the business? No, you read Wall Street Journal. I bet both these stories are making that dollar subscription work for you, Julia, for a month. You're getting us stories
this
from the
one,
Wall Street Journal.
I find, feel like this. I think this is a retail beware. So actually look for return policies because they're shorting it from a month to 2 weeks.
Not everybody's REI. See,
not everybody
attention, Julia.
Is REI. Who
and
takes
I even
that.
Gave someone your tip about the gently used hiking boots. I know someone who's looking for some sturdy boots, but refuses to pay more than $150. And I said, you're going to have to go gently used at REI to get this.
And we got that from Q. Yeah, that was good stuff. The REI is a really
I
good.
I shared it along. I passed it along, Julia. You think I'm not always paying attention in random thoughts, but aha.
So Zara and H&M are part of this, are making adjustments, charging shoppers for sending returns by mail. So it used to be free.
Right.
Beware now, because they're putting a charge because
it
they've
costs
done.
Costs them money. I
and
get
during
it, yeah.
the pandemic, everyone ordered online and there were huge sales, but they're figuring it out after it's expensive. All right, finally, Dairy Queen people are in an uproar because Dairy Queen no longer is offering the cherry flavored dip cone.
Uh-oh. Okay. But Julia, it was because a kid at a DQ in Michigan accidentally let it slip on TikTok that flavoring is going away for the summer.
Yep.
I guess it's not ordered much.
I've never ordered it once in my life.
Butterscotch dip all the
way. I do chocolate with crunchies.
My mom would do the cherry because I love the color of it.
That's so funny. I would never order because it looks so not right to me.
No, it didn't look like blood. It looked rosy.
It's rosy.
It's rosy. Okay.
Rosy. It's a rosé coating. All right, we'll be back. All right, everybody, it's Lori and Julia. We're so happy to tell you how much we absolutely love the Chan Theaters. Starting with the big Broadway shows like The Prom, we want to remind you it closes in a couple weeks.
It does, June 10th. It'll be here before you know it.
And we just love this show. And I think if you have an opportunity to see it, you're going to want to see it. And coming up next is what?
Jersey Boys. The Jersey Boys, which this is a Broadway sensation. It's one of the longest running hit shows in history. It's the best and most famous of all the jukebox musicals. And, of course, all the great Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons songs, and it's just a fantastic show, and we cannot wait to see it. And of course, their tribute concerts in the Fireside Theater are so great. Their tributes coming up to Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young,
Tom Petty,
I Am Woman, Lori Dokken is doing that.
There's power ballads. Visit ChanhassenDT.com for tickets. Chanhassen Dinner Theater, always entertaining you. I have to just tell you something really quick, Lori, because I kind of laughed at this huge headline, you know. Hundreds of people were outraged at the inconsiderate act of a woman on an airplane. My brain just can't handle this level of entitlement.
Oh, what is it? What did someone do?
A woman painted her nails.
Okay, no, you can't do that.
I remember way back in the day when flights weren't that full and we were flying to Boston. Yes. We had an early morning flight.
No one was on it.
My nails.
You would.
I didn't care. No one was on the plane.
No, you're right.
And so I was just laughing at my brain can't handle this level of entitlement. And so people around this woman...
The fumes are
outrageous. And I get it on a crowded flight.
It could have been an acrylic, too. Right. Those really smell.
No, you don't do acrylics on a plane, but she's painting...
No, with the acrylic, like, polish, you know, like that.
Sure.
Something.
It just...
Anyway, I wonder if that was on that one flight attendant who is the Twitter... There was like a Instagram or some social handle where it was a flight attendant, and I don't even think she's a flight attendant anymore, but early days of social media, she invited people to share their...
Nightmare stories on flights or something.
With pictures.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I can't think of the name of it, but...
Just hundreds outrageous.
Yeah.
The flight attendant asked her after four of the people asked her to stop, and she didn't, because by the time the flight attendant finally got involved, she was doing her top coat.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. That's
pretty clueless person, though.
Yeah, that is clueless. So on that same note, when we were talking about Delta or something, this was a few weeks back, a lady called in because she was a former Delta flight attendant.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, because I think you guys were talking about, you know, having the couch and bringing in a bunch of classic women to just tell great stories.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know what would be funny is if you got a bunch of flight attendants. To not use names, but to tell the stories from the eyes of flight attendants.
She's like,
I have stories for days and days.
That's a reality show idea.
Yeah.
Former flight attendants.
Yeah.
They're like most outrageous customers.
Right. Just dishing.
And even if they would dish, because who cares? Yeah. They're not working there anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
First class stories.
Yeah. Yes,
from inside, outside the cockpit. That would be a good show.
That would be. It really would be. I'd listen. I'd participate. I know some flight attendants.
We could get this thing rolling.
I used to know the number one and number two at Sun Country.
I know you did.
Joan, God bless her, has passed on, and Judy has retired.
Yeah.
So Katie might be number five.
She, at least.
At least, yeah. Okay, so... while you were driving, I'm assuming you weren't looking at too many.
I didn't look at anything.
Yeah, so that's so good. But the Cannes Film Festival has been going on.
Yes.
And, so it's been going on for like 5 days. And Grant posted some. It's like 264 photos. But if you would just like to waste 10 minutes of just jaw-dropping fashion. I mean, this makes the Met Gala look like... because it's such a feast for your eyes. It's laugh out loud funny. It's stars. I mean, it's huge on star factor. It's like, who the heck is that? It's like everything, but it's kind of, so anyway, you know, I think the last you and I saw and we spoke was, it was on the eve of Harrison Ford's Indiana, mm-hmm. and he and Calista.
Yes.
And, you know, so there's like 264 photos if you'd like to look.
I did look at them. They're fun.
They're every must-see. I have one question for Irina Shayk, Bradley Cooper's...
Baby mother,
yes. I don't... She's going to every party, so obviously she's modeling because she's at every party. But she's seriously dressing... basically like Victoria's Secret meets a dominatrix on the Lower East Side.
Yeah. I don't understand.
I mean, there's a lot of, not just her, but she's like the most.
Julia Fox. A lot of people just don't wear clothes.
Julia Fox just came in clear saran wrap with a very beautiful bubble skirt, long skirt that reminded me of something from the 80s. Mm-hmm. But where you just wrap your breasts in saran wrap, go to a nightclub and put a clunky necklace on, glitter up your face and call it a day, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, but Julia Garner was promoting something at Cannes.
She looked the prettiest we've seen her.
Oh my God. Asteroid City. She's in something called Asteroid City.
And it's horrible.
It sounds terrible.
It's a Wes Anderson.
Oh, he's so weird.
Here's what he said, because he always says
there's weirdo.
So many stars in it. And he said it looks smashing for Wes Anderson diehards only, maybe not even too many of them.
Oh, wow. That's bad. Yeah, he did Hotel Budapest. Yeah. He's just as weird. The Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, but people love that.
I never did. He's
weird.
Yeah.
He's weird.
So she's in that, but she's in a green dress, and her hair, she always rocks a short pixie, but she has natural wave and it's curly, but it's like flat ironed and lightly pinned back. She looked, and I am so struck at how good she'll be as Madonna in the Madonna biopic, which I hope Madonna hands off to, I don't know, would Scorsese direct a Madonna biopic? Would he ever consider that?
No. Oh, it's not going to happen. I have to go back about Wes Anderson, because there was one movie that I saw that I loved, The Isle of Dogs.
Oh, yes.
And it came out in 2018, and it's a cartoon. And I hate cartoons, but this.
That was a sweet movie.
This is a great movie telling you what happens to garbage.
Yeah. Yes.
And then he did The Fantastic Mr. Fox in 2009.
Yeah.
But other than that,
he's a quirky filmmaker. And
but those were too good. The Isle of Dogs is really great.
That was good. I remember that. You told me about
it. I saw it at the park.
Yeah, you went to the theater.
With mom. Yeah.
And your mom probably had read about it.
She did.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's where we went.
Yeah. The other movie that people are talking about, because the first trailer dropped, and I had forgotten that they were making a new adaptation of The Color Purple and having it be the musical, which is what it was on Broadway.
Right.
And people, you know, that movie came out so long ago. The Color Purple, when Steven Spielberg directed Oprah Winfrey in that. Yeah. I want to say that was like 1980, late 80s or something.
Long time ago.
Whoopi Goldberg was in it. It's based on the Alice Walker novel of the same name, which came out in 1982. I mean, you'll just cry buckets. It's just such a...
I've never read that book. And it's in this famous book I'm kind of reading right now called The Reading List.
Oh.
That's one of the books we should read.
Yes. Yes. And that's where Whoopi got her first Oscar nomination playing Shug. So Fantasia is reprising the role she played in The Color Purple on Broadway.
And so is the gal in The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, Halle Berry is in it. And what's her name? Our girl from Empire. I can't think of her name.
Taraji Henson.
Taraji Henson is playing. Yep. And she stars as Shug, the Whoopi. But it's a musical. It's a different take. It's a different take. Yeah. It looks really, really good from the trailer. It's coming out in December. And the other big December release, which The Twee, Willy Wonka, starring Timothy Chalamet.
No.
Okay. Yeah,
there's going to be other good ones.
Yeah, so The Color Purple is Warner Brothers. That's their big holiday discovery, this movie. So if you want to look at the trailer, it's a star-studded cast, and it looked good.
Did you guys talk about Killers of the Flower Moon
yesterday? Yes, we did.
I can't wait, even though it's long.
Yeah, that's just shy of 3 hours. How do you feel?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you something. That story needs to be told long form, because it's so...
It's a 700-page book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's such a great book. And it has so much going on. I'm excited.
Yeah, Roger Friedman, in his opinion, after he saw that, he just said, yes, Oscar, Lily Gladstone, Leonardo, maybe his best movie, Scorsese, maybe his best. But he pointed out that he thought the thing that made the movie get better is when COVID happened, Marty, as he called him, had to go back and look at everything and make sure that they got all the native details, all the ways that the Osage people were wronged, and how to make sure they told that story exactly as
from
David,
a native person. Yeah, we did.
The way David Grant researched it and fact-checked that it stayed true to that, that they didn't have any kind of white savior sort of a thing that they kept to. Because David Grant wrote this, you don't need to deviate from his story because he lays it all out there. But he was, and even the former leader of the Osage Nation, because he was invited there, and said there he's so happy with the movie.
Oh, I can't. And just the story. I can't wait for people to know the story.
And, you know, there's probably one day going to be a documentary about the legendary partnership that Scorsese has had with certain actors.
Yes.
You know? I mean, he and Leo, what will this be like, their sixth movie?
And I'm surprised about the character Leo plays versus what he was originally cast for. I think people are going to die for that.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So anyways, Fantasia shines in this color purple. And Oprah Winfrey is one of the producers. So she's on board. This thing has come full circle. And,
cool.
And yeah, so anyway. All right, there you go.
All right, everybody. Okay, so I was in a new home with different type of furniture and looking at furniture and in a hotel, and I just love looking at furniture.
You are a furniture aficionado.
Color. Yes. A lot of color, a lot of velvets, a lot of mixing of
natural woods and metals.
Very much so, and big, beautiful pieces of art. And all this is at Furniture Manor. And if you haven't been there for a while, they are always changing out their inventory. There's stuff coming in every day. And remember, if you love it and it's on the showroom floor, you can buy it and take it with you. And if you don't, they have so much that you can customize to make absolutely perfect something that you've always wanted. But whatever you're doing, they've got designers there to help. You've got excellent, excellent pricing available for everybody. And just good customer service and a wonderful family-run business. That's Furniture Manor. Tell them the girl sent you.
Okay, what is the meaning of this? So, something that happened on Friday, Julia.
Yes.
Or maybe it happened over the weekend. But Jennifer Hudson's daytime, we'll just call this idol talk show drama that we need to Hollywood speak.
Oh, okay.
Because we do have two American idols hosting two different talk shows, Kelly Clarkson and Jennifer Hudson.
Yes, you're right about that.
And Jennifer Hudson daytime talk show inherited basically all of Ellen's staff.
Oh, okay.
Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, for her first year. Well, guess what? Jennifer has booted multiple producers and several executive producers from her show.
Okay.
And here's what a spokesperson for J.H.'s show said. It's typical for a show to make adjustments after a debut season, blah, blah, blah. But what's not par for the course is that Jennifer, her assistant and her publicist are now executive producers.
Wow.
So I think what that means is she will sacrifice actual production experience to make sure that her image, what she wants for the direction of her show, happens, and not what Ellen's old EPs thought.
But why wouldn't you hire a talented new...
Well, I mean, she might have other executive producers.
And one of the other reasons to name yourself an executive producer is to get more money, Laura.
Yes, of course. That's how you get a raise. Yeah.
So we're EPs here. It's just to get more money.
Yeah.
That's the flat out one. Once you're an EP on it, your name's on it, you have some ownership on it, you have some different rights.
Yeah.
I mean, the minute you see someone like on a show for 4 years, suddenly the next year they're an EVP on it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I thought, well,
that's common.
And Sherry Shepherd just had to can Wendy Williams,
her staff after the first year.
Who is Suzanne and her husband.
Who we loved.
She was the show fluffer.
Yeah.
And her husband was a cameraman, but they were on the show forever and ever. And Sherry let them go after the season. They were contractually bound. People don't want somebody else's old EVP. They just don't.
No, in an EVP, and really,
because
she wants
making,
to...
She,
She has a year under her belt of doing this now, and you probably are like, my word, I need to do it a different way.
And I'm going to tell you, I have tried Jennifer Hudson's show. It doesn't.
I can't do it.
I've tried it too.
I don't like it.
And I'll tell you why. Because they gave her a formula that wasn't her. She gets to be herself when she comes out and she's genuine, you know, like when she comes out. But like you can feel that she doesn't feel like, she doesn't like these people. And I remember that one annoying guy who was an EVP and she was stuck with him. He always outside Ellen's window right. during the pandemic, whatever that guy's name was.
Right.
I bet I couldn't stand working with that guy. So
this is normal.
This is
and this is for more money for her and control.
Yes, no. And she would like.
And she has a year on her belt now where she can be.
That's right. And
she
would like.
The first year she was at their.
She really was. She
they're
was
taking
like,
a chance on her, and now she's proven herself because she got some ratings, and now next
and
year she
got
can
nominated
it up.
For. Yeah. Her show got nominated for an Emmy. She didn't as a host.
Okay.
Like Kelly, the show, and Kelly Clarkson both got nominated. And then Kelly, you know, she addressed that Rolling Stone article that said that. She had all these people
horrible
who were
people.
Having horrible people, but Kelly didn't know how bad her executive producers are because she comes in, you know, the day to day. Apparently, these talk shows, Julia, might have 60 people working on that.
Lori, you listen to a podcast and they name off 10 producers and you just sit there like, that was just 40 minutes. You had 10 people.
Right.
Grant,
and ourselves,
because we're producers.
Yes, you guys are definitely.
And we're executive producers.
And Sherry Shepherd, you know, she inherited all of Wendy's staff, but I think she's kept, you know, what's his name, the guy that always sat, you know, she gelled, but she had done hosting on that show,
sure.
So she experienced those guys in a different way, and they weren't Ellen's people that. Had been, you know.
Well, and Warner Brothers, whoever produces Ellen's show, wanted to keep the, you know, give these people jobs.
Yeah.
And they had a formula that worked for many, many years with Ellen.
Until that Twitter thread. That's really what unraveled Ellen,
was.
That Twitter thread. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but anyway, I don't think there's.
It's amazing the power of one or two comments, what it can do if it's on social media.
Yeah. But. You know, they got to get this writer's strike figured out because, boy, does Whoopi prolifically complain about that every day on The View. Apparently, they have a lot of writers that do a lot of writing for their... I always thought they were riffing. I had no idea.
Well, I know they had cue cards, but I thought they were given the topics and would come up with those on their own. But I suppose if someone else give them the ideas to put in their own heads.
I was like, a way to break the fourth wall, Whoopi. Yeah, here I thought you ladies were just giving your opinions on hot takes and stuff. I guess I got to go stick with, you know, Kelly Clarkson and the other idol people. All right, make of this what you will. Jude Law. Can red carpet. Once again, they're making another movie about that stinky King Henry VIII, which if anyone watched The Tudors, we knew King Henry, when he's in his 40s,
foul.
He has an ulcerated leg, and he just stinks.
He stinks
to high heaven. He's married to a sixth wife.
And he's gross.
So it's called Firebrand, and it's the story of King Henry VIII, played by Jude Law.
How many do we need?
I know it, Julia. And his sixth wife, played by Alicia Vikander, Catherine Parr.
Okay.
And he sat on the red carpet.
After he killed his fifth wife, Anne Boleyn. Right?
Yeah. He said, I had a specialist perfumer to make a custom brew. She makes wonderful scents and awesome and awful scents. And she came up with this extraordinary variety. This is on the red carpet. Of blood, fecal matter, and sweat. And I doused myself with that for all of my takes.
Okay, that's just foul.
Okay. Blood, sweat, and poop-scented perfume?
Well, he wanted people to have... It was...
I am sorry that takes method acting. I really double-dog dare someone to ask Alicia Vikander what it was like to do the intimate scenes with him with blood, sweat, and poop-scented perfume on him.
It was method acting.
And apparently we see his pale, fleshy bum that looked like a giant shaved butt of a sheep. According to one review that I read. Okay. That's not a flattering...
I feel like Jude Law has been missing on a lot of shows. What about Elfie?
I don't know.
I loved him.
I don't know. They also,
what about the holiday?
The stomach turning image.
Again, that just sounds puny.
I don't know. The real victim here, can we agree, is Alicia.
Right, but I also think they probably thought this would be good because she can really feel like she's around this foul person and have to fake it.
She's an actor, Julia. She can act, okay? We do not need this level of method acting using blood, sweat, and poop-scented perfume because apparently Jude Law told this Cannes reporter that the story was you could smell King Henry VIII three rooms away.
How gross is that?
I know.
How gross is that?
His leg was rotting so badly He doused himself. Like, Jude is really into this part, but I am not into this part for him. And now this is the kind of thing that if I were a publicist, you would actually hear me scream at the top of my lungs that this came out of his mouth. You know what I mean? Bloody hell, that's what I would scream.
I would too. All right, I've got one for you. Kim Kardashian made rare comments about her ex-husband. Can I give them to you?
Please.
She basically said that her marriage was beautiful for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't consider it in any way a failure.
That's right. They have four beautiful children.
But she added that Kanye had different views.
She never named him.
Oh, she didn't.
Yeah.
That he had different views and she didn't have the power to change him. And that you can't force your beliefs and project them on someone that thinks something completely differently.
Sounds like Kim had some good therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in no rush. She just said, basically, you can't help him because he doesn't want it.
This is a lesson for everybody.
You can't help people. You can't
make them change. They're not going to change.
Nope,
unless they are who they are. You just got to believe it.
But people can change if they want to.
That's true.
If people are in it together.
Yeah.
If they want to. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Lori and Julia, my talk.